I'm concerned. I've been given my own bottle of water. My wife tries to get me to drink hers. That really concerns me. And I assume the good stuff is down here, and I hadn't been asked to drink it. It's dead, whatever it is. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We will begin reading with verses 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and though I have faith as I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, bless your word. It will do what you have sent it out to do. Father, open our hearts and our minds that we might receive the message tonight in our own language, that we would understand your will for our life. Now, Father, have your way in this service. And Father, all that's good that is accomplished, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Miss Lois, if you want to come on to the piano, I'll give you time to do that while I'm getting ready. I'm going to show you my wonderful musical skills here in a few minutes. You may be saying, oh, me in a little bit. Okay. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass and tingling cymbals. Now, those are musical instruments. I don't have those. I've never tried to play those. But I want you to know that I know enough about music that I could probably teach a beginner to play the piano. Now, I know that much. I might have to brush up on a little bit, but I believe I could do that. I know music. I know a lot of the symbols, and I know a lot of. I know how to read, where to go back to. I know what tells you all that stuff. But I'll show you in a minute a demonstration of what happens, what love is about. We want to, first of all, identify love as being God. For it's in 1 John, the 4th chapter, and I believe it's the 8th verse, it says, God is love. Amen. And without God, I'm convinced there'd be no love in this world. Amen. Now, to get back to our scriptures that I want to talk about for a moment, and Miss Lois is going to help me with, I'm going to demonstrate the difference to you in somebody having love and doing wonderful things. I've done told you, I know music. But in my heart, there's not that desire, that drive to play music like it is with Miss Lois. And we'll demonstrate that in a moment, okay? I took music for more years than my mom and dad want to admit. And I think I learned to play one gospel hymn, and it was pretty much memorized. But I didn't have the love and the desire to play that others have. Miss Lois, let's give a little demonstration. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to play. I'm just going to play a few notes because it'd take all day for me to play it. We're starting right here. Can anybody tell me what I was playing? To what? Okay, wait, I did better than I thought. Miss Lois, would you go ahead and just play the whole song through if you don't care? Now, was there any doubt what song she was playing? Thank you, Miss Lois, if you want to go back to your seat. The difference is a love for music. Music has profited me nothing. It's just a noise. That's hey, when I was a kid, I've took piano lessons. My sister took piano lessons. They gave up on my brother and didn't even try with him. But he might have made a musician. Who knows? I mean a musician, not a anyway. But every once in a while, we were doing such a horrible job trying to learn, and it was just noise. It really was. And Mom and Dad would say, "That's enough. We've just heard all we can stand." Now, verse 1 tells us that if we had the ability to speak like the most eloquent man, even if we had the ability to speak like an angel, one of God's angelic creatures, and we didn't have the love of Jesus in our heart, just like the piano profits me nothing, our lives profit nothing. And then he goes on to say some other things, and I want us to look at it this way. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy. Now, that's a great gift. A great gift. And even if I could understand all mysteries. Boy, wouldn't you, Brother Anthony, if you'd like to just get over in the book of Revelation and just understand all that. Man. Let me just back up. Does anybody here feel like they're a prophet? That's what I thought. How many of you understand all the mysteries of Revelation? Okay. Now, I think I'm pretty smart till I start talking with my wife and I find out I'm not as smart as I thought. But, so she must be pretty knowledgeable, you know, better than me. How many of you think you really have a lot of knowledge? You know, we don't. And though I have faith, now here we go. This is something I could have. But now let's seriously think about faith for a moment. Do you really have faith? Can we remove that mountain? How many has removed mountains with their faith? It can be done. Though I have love, I'm nothing. Let me tell you something. I got nothing against education because I went back and spent a whole lot of time getting it so I could be ordained in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And I don't regret it. I don't begrudge it. But I'm here to tell you, God don't want my education. He wants my heart. That's all he wants. And I understand if I read the Bible correctly, the disciples, when it says ignorant and unlearned, they would just scoot. They talk like rednecks. That's what they talk like. Oh, hillbillies, country boys, you know, however you want to say it. They weren't educated. I still say aunt, and my school teacher tried to find that word in the dictionary, and it wasn't in the dictionary. But I can show her wrong now because it's in the dictionary. I said it so much till they put it in the dictionary. God don't need all of our knowledge. He don't even need our faith. He wants our heart. If we have nothing else, we need the love of God in our heart. But there's one more verse. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, all my goods to feed the poor. Now, we help people, don't we? I mean, I'm sure this church does. Our church does. We help people, you know, and we do a pretty good job, in my opinion. I'm sure you do. But we didn't bestow all of our goods. We kept a little for ourselves, you know. Every time we look at our figures at church, we have to decide, you know, what can we do? Can we do this? How much can we do? Because we need to keep a little for ourselves. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying if we did give all that we had, and though we would allow our bodies to be burned or be a martyr for Jesus Christ, if we don't have the love of God in our heart, it profits nothing. It's absolutely, our life is worthless. Then I want to look at, even though we didn't read them as a text, I want to look at some of the following verses. It says, verse 4, love suffers long. And you got a different version up there. Just bear with me. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not pride itself. It is not puffed up. Now, how many of us, come on, let's be, don't tell on yourself out loud, but be honest with yourself. How many of us are long-suffering? I pray every day, Lord, I need patience and I need it right now. Love is kind. Are you really kind? Are you kind to that person that you don't like? Listen, I drive a school bus, and one of the hardest things that I find it is to do, and I do it, and I mean it. I really honestly do. But if I have to get on to a child that really gives me a lot of problems, I tell him when he gets off the bus, or her, have a good afternoon. And I really mean it. Can you be kind to those that you don't like? Now, I love all the kids on the bus, but some of them's behavior really is hard for me to like, I tell you. And you might say that about me if you had to be around. So, I mean, you know, I understand. It does not envy. Love is not envious. It don't sit around and say, he gets all the breaks. Love is not prideful. Jerry Clower tells a story about a young man that was playing football. And there was an old, ragged man came in up to the room where they were having whatever football players do with their coach. They were having strategy meeting or whatever it was. I'm not a coach and I'm not much on sports, so I don't know what they were doing. But anyway, wasn't anybody else supposed to be in there? And this old, rough-looking gentleman come walking up to the door. Looked like a tramp, looked like a beggar. One of the players jumped up and said, I want to introduce my father. Jerry Clower said, I'd rather have him guarding for me as anybody I know. Because he wasn't ashamed of his father, no matter what he looked like. Not ashamed of his family or his church or his job or whatever it is. Love transcends all those barriers that we put out there. Amen. Amen. And this might be a good one for the church. Have you ever seen somebody come to church? I mean, they might not look it, but you know they all puffed up, you know. I didn't like the sermon the preacher preached last week. I didn't like the song the choir sang last week. You know, I didn't like the way the ushers took up the offering. You know, I must be hitting a point here. I don't know. Most of the time, people are puffed up one against another. But love doesn't do that. So what he tells us that we got to have love. So how am I going to know if I got love of Jesus in my heart? If these things that we're talking about keep jumping out, we might ought to take an inventory. Amen. Hey, I'm not judging, okay? I'm just saying you need to take an inventory. Amen. I believe it'd be all right for Christians to be able to say to a brother, might ought to take an inventory, brother. I don't believe that's judging. Because the inventory might come out better than we think. But if all these things that love is not, it keeps bouncing out and keeps coming out, maybe, just maybe we ought to think about it. And of course it says, does not behave itself rudely and does not seek its own and is not provoked and thinks no evil. Oh, the day when we could get to where we don't seek our own. Think about it. Even the best of y'all, I won't say of us, the best of y'all, we seek our own way too much. We have our own best interest at heart way too much. And I wonder what Jesus thought when he walked up that lonely road to Calvary. Toting that cross for a while, that big timber that was really too much for a man to have to carry by himself. Especially after you've been beaten nearly to death. I wonder what he thought. Was there anything selfish in what he done there? Was he seeking his own for anything right there? And here's the thing. If I'd have been the only man on earth, Jesus would have made that pilgrimage up that hill. But he didn't just do it for me. He did it for everyone. What does John say? Whosoever. I tell you what, I'm going to say the word whosoever, and when I say whosoever, I want you to call out your own name, okay? Whosoever. That's who Jesus died for. He died for everyone. Whosoever would call upon his name. Dylan called upon his name. Amen. Poor Dylan, I tell you what. He got a preacher for a friend. Y'all pray for the young guy. He's a tough guy or he wouldn't put up with it. I'm just going to pick out some of these. But thinks no evil. How many of you, when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, do you say, bless them, Lord? No, I say, if I had a good insurance policy, I'd ram you. I think that's thinking evil. Yeah. Let's laugh at ourselves, but let's take that inventory, okay? I don't know what you do. I don't know what you don't do. But I lost my place. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Love does not get its kicks when somebody else is down. This is a confession, okay? It's not telling you need to do this, but it's just a confession. I heard of a man's wife that divorced him one time, and I really didn't like the guy, and my comment come out right out before I could bite the end of my tongue off, and I said it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Yeah. Thinking evil and rejoicing in iniquity. Ha ha, you deserved it, boy. You got just what you deserved. What if Jesus had thought that as he went up that road to Calvary? I'll tell you what he'd have done. If Jesus had one little thought about that, he'd have tossed that timber off his shoulder, said, "Father, I ain't doing this, I'm coming home." And guess what? He wants us to act like him. He don't want us to act like everybody else. He wants us to act like him. He came, he lived, he's done all these things that we might have eternal life, and he also showed us how to live and how to have compassion, even on those that were tormenting him. He said, "Father, exactly, forgive him. Forgive him." What would you have prayed? "Lord, I hope it dropped dead with a heart attack before they hit me another lick or before they drive that big nail." I mean, you know, Jesus didn't do that. But then in verse 9 it says, "We know in part, we prophesy in part." In other words, we just think we know. Brother Anthony, you and I try to lead folks to faith in the Lord and to grow as Christians, and we just think we know. Even at our very best day, we just think we know. Well, back there a while ago when we came in, and I don't know, you need to put the guy a light back there. I can't see the disc. I had to take my flashlight off my phone out and, you know, get it out and turn the flashlight on and look at it and say, "Oh, that's what that says." That's the way the best of us are going through life as Christians. We just barely can tell what we're doing. But it says, "When that which is perfect has come and that which is in part is done away, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." How would your physical life, how would your work life be if you acted like a child on it? You know, as you grow up, you know, I meet these kids that I've had on the school bus, and sometimes I just look at them and I think, "Oh my goodness, what are we turning loose in society?" And then I'll see them one day, 10 years later. I've been doing this a long time, so I, you know. And I'll look at them, and they'll come up, and they'll shake hands with me, or they might hug my neck, and they'll say, "Mr. Steve or whatever they want to call me, and they'll tell me how glad they are to see me. I had a young man one time to come to my shop when I was working on cars, and I worked on his car, and I hadn't seen him since he rode the school bus. And he come in, and when he's on the school bus, I don't think he knew how to say the word mister. I don't think that was in his vocabulary. Nobody had taught him that. But anyway, he come in, "Mr. Steve this, Mr. Steve that," and he was real polite, and I'm thinking, I believe this is the boy I hauled on the school bus several years ago. Anyway, it went on for a little while. I was working on his car, and he was waiting on me there, and he kept talking to me. And I finally just looked around, and I said, "Son, what in the world has happened to you? You're not the same child I had on the school bus." He kind of dropped his head, and he looked, and he says, "I joined the National Guard, Malin, and they sent me off to boot camp. And," he said, "when I come back, my boss said if boot camp would do all his employees like it done me, he'd pay to send them all." Boot camp taught him to put away childish things. As a church, we need to help each other put away those childish things. Some of the things that hinder and separate us in church, and I'm not talking about church against church, I'm talking about inside our own church. It's so trivial. It's childish. You know, me and my wife sometimes, you know, believe it or not, we do argue once in a while. That just somehow happens. I don't know. You know, once in a blue moon, once in a while, you know, more often than I want to admit. And sometimes, not every time, but sometimes we'll just stop and start laughing about how silly the argument is. How childish we are sometimes. But Paul said when he came a man, he put away. We become a Christian, we need to put away those evil, sinful, non-Christian ways of thinking. We need to put it away. It's up to us. It's up to us. I can't make you do it. I mean, I'm not going to come into your life and house and try to, you know, Jesus had a scripture about that too, about having a two before in your own eye and trying to get a splinter out of another man's eye. So, you know, I'm not going to do that. But we need to be sure that we help each other and not having these childish attitudes or sinful attitudes is what we're talking about. We need to put them away. And one way we can do that is start pulling that big two-before out of our own eye where we can see ourselves.
Amen.
You know, when I get up to preach, Brother Anthony, I'm sure you do too, when the Lord lays on my heart that I need to preach about something, you know, let's say murder. That's the terrible sin, you know. And I know I'm going to speak to someone that's murdered. I look at myself. I've never pulled a trigger on a gun and killed anybody, but how many words have I said that's just destroyed the lives of people? And I wind up finding myself, no matter what I preach on, I have to say, Lord, I'm just as guilty as anybody's going to hear this. I'm just as guilty. Sometimes I wonder if Lord don't send these messages just for me. Mariah, don't get too excited, but it might tell you a little bit about me. Some of these messages might. Then he says in verse 12, and now we see in a mirror dimly. In other words, I'm assuming, have you ever went back to a pond and looked into the water? You know, a pond's dark enough, got dark enough background that if the light's on it, you can see your reflection. But you can't tell all the imperfections. You know, as you get older, you can't see all the wrinkles. You know? Yeah, comb your hair at the pond. That'd be a good idea. But it's dimly, and I'm assuming the mirrors they had, most of them were that quality. It was like looking into a store glass and seeing your reflection. You don't get a good picture of yourself. And Paul said that's what it's like now. But there's coming a day when we'll look back and I won't have time to look at Brother Anthony's problems because God's going to show me all mine. And I'm going to say, oh, Lord, yeah. And you won't be thinking about my problems. You'll be thinking about your own. Because when the Lord shows you how it really was. One more thing on that and I'm going to move on. But I told them this at church a few months ago. I went to church one Sunday and after doing the baptism, it may be the same way. I'm not real vain. I mean, I don't have to look perfect. I mean, that's not it. But I do kind of like my hair to be sort of in place, you know. And I went to church one Sunday and I preached and services was over, and after the service was over, I had to go to the restroom, and we got a big, beautiful mirror in the men's room, got a good light behind it, best place I've ever seen to see all the imperfections areas, and I walked in there, and my hair was a mess, and I thought I looked good that day. Apparently, I didn't. Maybe I didn't look no better than I do any other day because nobody said anything. But we only know in part. God's going to show us our lives in such a way that we say, I didn't see it. I didn't know it. But as we end, I want to think about this last verse. It says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Faith is good, right? We have faith in Jesus. Get saved. Get baptized. That's a good thing. Hope. You know, hope for a better tomorrow. Hope for a growth in our church. Hope that other folks get saved. Hope that God can use us in some way to minister to somebody else and help them get saved or to help them in some way in their life. Hope. That's a good thing. God didn't say there's anything wrong with them. But he said the greatest of these is love. There's nothing greater than God. Nothing. I'm not much on novels, but I do know this, that if you start reading a novel, if you don't like reading any better than I do, the only way I like to read is something I'm interested in. I mean, I'll be honest, when I was in school, until I found out that there was autobiographies that I could read about Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett and all those guys, you know, Lewis and Clark, I didn't like reading. But you know, I didn't go over to the back and see how it ended, but I just want to tell you this because you need to know. Out yonder somewhere, and only in God's time, when there was nothing, and I can't comprehend that, but there was God. And he spoke everything into existence, and he took his own hands and he reached down, and he loved us so much, we are so special to him that he made us with his hands. Now that's how special we are. And then he sent Jesus to die on the cross, and this is a crash course in the whole thing, of course, but in the end, when there is nothing else, there'll be God. Amen. The greatest of these is love. I'm going to ask if Mariah would come. You want to sing Amazing Grace, or He Is Here, one or the other? I don't care which one you do. Y'all come on. Brother Anthony, if you'd like to come, we'll consider this an invitation. Then if you've got anything you want to do after this, we'll sit down and let you have it.